This week, a single solar panel prototype produced 907 watts of power. To put that in perspective, a standard residential panel today is around 400 watts. This isn't just an incremental improvement, it's a step change in energy generation. The question for Western industry is no longer if this new technology is coming, but how to survive its arrival. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, the weekly briefing for leaders in manufacturing, trading, and technology. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
Troy, the solar energy sector has been buzzing for years, but this past week feels different. We've seen a flood of announcements, particularly around a technology called perovskites. It seems we've suddenly jumped from lab-scale experiments to world records in efficiency and power output, with China, Germany, and South Korea all making major moves. What is happening?
What's happening, Susie, is a strategic inflection point. Perovskite solar technology is moving from the research phase to the industrialization race. We're seeing rapid parallel progress on the three fronts that matter for commercial viability: raw efficiency, long-term stability, and manufacturing scale. This week's developments signal that the technology is maturing at an astonishing pace, and national industrial strategies are now being built around it.
Let's start with the headline numbers. We saw a flurry of world records. China's LONGi hit 34.85% efficiency for a cell, and China Solar announced that 907-watt panel I mentioned. Unpack this for us. What exactly is this technology?
At its core, it's about tandem solar cells. Think of it as a dual-engine system for capturing sunlight. A thin, semi-transparent layer of a perovskite crystal is placed on top of a traditional crystalline silicon cell. The perovskite layer captures high-energy blue and green light, while the silicon layer below captures lower-energy red and infrared light. This layered approach allows the cell to break through the theoretical efficiency limit of silicon alone, which is around 29%.
So these new records from LONGi and China Solar are using this tandem approach. Why does this matter globally right now?
Because it proves the concept works at scale and with incredible performance. LONGi's 34.85% cell efficiency, verified by the U.S. National Renewable Energy Laboratory, demonstrates the absolute peak potential. But China Solar's record is arguably more significant for industry. They achieved 29.2% efficiency and 907 watts of power on a full-area commercial-size module using their 210-millimeter cell platform. This isn't a tiny lab sample. It's a direct preview of a mass-market product.
Okay, a preview of a Chinese mass-market product. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers of traditional solar panels?
For existing silicon PV manufacturers, this is a direct and existential threat. Their entire value proposition is based on a technology that is now proven to have a lower performance ceiling. The Chinese lead, demonstrated by LONGi and China Solar, means Western manufacturers are now in a race to either develop their own perovskite on silicon tandem technology or risk being permanently outcompeted on a watts per dollar basis within the next 3 to 5 years.
What about trading companies and distributors? Should they be placing orders?
Not yet, but they should be building relationships. The commercialization timeline is firming up. For instance, Hanwha Qcells in South Korea is targeting 2029 for mass production. Distributors should be vetting these emerging leaders, China Solar, LONGi, Hanwha, to understand their production roadmaps. Sourcing these high-efficiency modules early will be a major competitive advantage, especially for large-scale solar farm projects where power density is critical.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening today?
Re-evaluate your 5-year technology roadmap immediately. If you're a manufacturer, you need a strategy for tandem cells, either through in-house R&D, partnership, or acquisition. If you're a distributor or project developer, you must begin technical due diligence on the top-tier Chinese and South Korean tandem module suppliers. The performance gap with legacy silicon is about to become too large to ignore.
High efficiency is one thing, Troy, but the classic weakness of perovskites has always been stability. They tend to degrade quickly when exposed to heat, humidity, and even light. Has anything changed on that front?
It has, and this is perhaps the most important development. We're seeing the stability problem being cracked from two different angles: understanding the how of degradation in Germany and engineering the fix in China.
Tell me about the German research first.
Researchers at Helmholtz-Zentrum Berlin published two critical studies. The first, appearing in Joule, validated that accelerated lab testing accurately predicts real-world outdoor aging.
The second study identified the specific failure mechanisms, things like phase segregation and copper corrosion, and established a predictable lifetime framework. They estimate a current T80 lifetime of around 15.6 months.
T80? What does that mean in plain English?
It means the cell retains 80% of its initial efficiency after that period. Now, 15.6 months is not commercially viable for a 25-year panel, but the key breakthrough isn't the number itself. It's the fact that they now have a reliable model to predict and measure it. This turns the stability challenge from a mysterious art into a solvable engineering problem.
So Germany is defining the problem. What about the fix you mentioned from China?
Exactly. Two Chinese teams announced major stability breakthroughs. Researchers at the Chinese Academy of Sciences used a glutathione additive, that's a common antioxidant, to achieve 26.17% efficiency while dramatically improving resilience to heat, humidity, and UV light. More impressively, a team at Soochow University developed a dual molecule interfacial layer that achieved 27.3% efficiency and crucially retained 92% of its initial performance after 2,000 hours of continuous light soaking.
So this dual molecule layer is like a protective coating that also boosts performance.
Precisely. It locks the perovskite's molecular structure in place, suppresses defects, and improves charge extraction. This directly counters the degradation mechanisms the German teams identified. This is a critical convergence of problem identification and solution engineering.
What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers who might be considering perovskite technology?
It de-risks the investment. The fundamental science of why these cells fail is now understood, and a clear toolbox of chemical and structural solutions is emerging. European chemical companies like Merck or BASF should see a massive opportunity here in developing these specialized additives, passivation layers, and encapsulation materials. For U.S. cell manufacturers, this means the path to achieving a 20-plus year warrantable product is becoming clearer.
And for the trading and distribution side?
They need to add stability metrics to their due diligence checklists. Ask potential suppliers not just for their peak efficiency, but for their T80 lifetime data, their light soaking test results, and their damp heat test performance. The Soochow University result, retaining 92% efficiency after 2,000 hours, sets a new benchmark for what they should expect from top-tier suppliers.
What's the immediate action item here?
Executives should task their technical teams with a deep dive analysis of these emerging stability solutions, glutathione additives, dual molecule interfaces, and 2D perovskite passivation layers. Understand which approaches are most promising for mass production. The companies that master stability will be the long-term winners, and identifying them early is key.
We've covered efficiency and stability. That brings us to the third piece, industrialization. Who is actually building the factories and supply chains for this technology?
This is where we see national strategies taking shape. The announcements this week show a clear three-way race between South Korea, China, and to a lesser extent, the U.S. in niche markets.
Let's start with South Korea. What was the news there?
Hanwha Qcells, a major global solar player, announced it will lead a government-backed project to develop commercial-scale perovskite silicon tandem modules. Their targets are explicit. Achieve over 28% module efficiency on a panel larger than 1.7 square meters, with a goal of commercialization around 2029. This is a state-supported, industry-led push to build a mass production champion.
And how is China responding? Their approach seems more broad-based.
It is. We saw two major moves. First, the battery giant CATL expanded its partnership with the China Energy Conservation and Environmental Protection Group, or CSEP, to explicitly accelerate perovskite commercialization. This pairs CATL's materials and manufacturing expertise with CSEP's massive portfolio of application scenarios. Second, China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology officially endorsed several perovskite projects, including GCL Optoelectronics' plan for full-size, high-conversion rate modules, flagging them as priority smart PV projects.
So in South Korea, it's a focused bet on a national champion, Hanwha. In China, it's a broader industrial ecosystem play with state backing from multiple companies. Where do the U.S. and Europe fit in?
The European effort appears more focused on foundational research, as we saw with the German studies.
In the U.S., the strategy seems to be centered on venture-backed startups targeting high-value niche markets. A perfect example is Virta Technologies, a U.S. company that just appointed a new CEO, Jean-Noël Poirier, to commercialize its thin-film perovskite technology. Their initial target market isn't rooftops, it's power generation for space satellites.
Why space? That seems very specific.
It's a classic technology adoption strategy. The space market values performance, high efficiency, lightweight, and radiation resistance far more than cost. Verde's roll-to-roll manufacturing of flexible cells is perfect for this. By proving their technology in a demanding, high-margin application, they can fund further development to eventually bring costs down for terrestrial markets.
This is fascinating. So what are the direct implications for U.S. and European manufacturers watching these industrial strategies unfold?
European manufacturers are at a crossroads. They can either partner with an emerging leader like Hanwha Qcells or double down on supplying the critical high-tech equipment and advanced materials needed for perovskite production. For U.S. manufacturers, the Verde Technologies model is instructive. Instead of competing head-on with Chinese and Korean giants in commodity solar, they can focus on specialized applications, space, defense, IoT devices, or building integrated PV, where unique form factors or performance characteristics can command a premium.
And for trading companies?
It's time to map the emerging supply chains. The CATL and GCL developments in China and the Hanwha project in South Korea are creating the industrial giants of tomorrow. Trading companies need to understand who will be making the cells, who will be assembling the modules, and who will be supplying the specialized encapsulants and conductive layers. Building relationships now, before mass production begins, will be critical.
The actionable advice?
Segment your market strategy. For executives in large, established companies, the focus should be on strategic partnerships with the Korean and Chinese industrial players. For leaders at smaller, more agile Western firms, the focus should be on identifying and dominating a high-value niche market, just like Verde is attempting with space. Do not try to fight a land war in Asia on commodity solar. Find a different battlefield.
Troy, that was a huge amount of information. Let's distill it down. If our listeners in the U.S. and Europe take away only three things from this week's developments in perovskite solar, what should they be?
First, the performance gap is real and accelerating. Tandem cells from companies like LONGi and China Solar are not just incrementally better. They represent a fundamental leap in power output per unit of area. Any business model based on the supremacy of conventional silicon technology now has an expiration date, likely within the next 5 years.
Second,
stability is becoming a solvable engineering problem, not a fundamental material science barrier. The work in Germany to model degradation, combined with Chinese innovations in chemical additives and interfacial layers, means reliable, long-lasting perovskite modules are on the horizon. The risk profile for investing in this technology has dropped significantly.
And the third key takeaway?
Third, the industrial race has begun, and national strategies are hardening. South Korea is backing a national champion in Hanwha Qcells. China is building a wide and deep industrial ecosystem with state support. And the U.S. is innovating in niche, high-value markets. Western companies must now decide where they will compete, as mass market players, specialized component suppliers, or niche application leaders.
So the recommended action for executives is clear.
It is. You need to formally assess the threat and opportunity of perovskite tandem technology on your business this quarter. Define your strategy. Will you partner, compete, or pivot to a new market? Waiting is no longer a viable option. The technological and industrial momentum is now too strong to ignore.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The shift in solar technology is a powerful reminder that in our industries, the future arrives faster than we think. We'll be here to track it with you.
Thank you for joining us.
Subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on your podcast platform of choice to make sure you never miss a briefing. Until next week, stay informed and stay ahead.